This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your hour of old-time radio crime, brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. We'll begin this week with Crime Does Not Pay and their story from December 5th, 1949, titled A Piece of Rope. After that, it's a case for Dr. Morell and Threat to Kill, his story from May 7th, 1957.
Crime does not pay.
Yeah, I'll take Lobster Diavolo every time. Nothing like it. Boy, that red sauce.
Sure, it ain't the spaghetti, Phil, on account of it looks like rope.
Yeah, could be. Why you use a rope all the time, Phil? A gun or even an ice pick would be quicker, like today. Puggy almost got away.
Yeah, maybe Dookie's got something, Phil. Look how that jerk bit my hand.
That's because you're slipping, Tiny. You didn't used to have to stick your hand in their mouths.
Well, that still don't answer Dookie's question.
Yeah, Phil. Why a rope all the time? It's simple, like ABC. We all got records, ain't we? And you carry a loaded piece, when you got a record, it's another felony, ain't it? Carrying concealed weapons, see? Well, I've been wise to the flat feet since I've been a kid. And nobody can prove in no court that you had a weapon on you when all you're carrying is a piece of rope.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear A Piece of Rope, starring Cameron Mitchell as Dookie DeFore. Crime Does Not Pay, starring Cameron Mitchell as Dookie DeFore in A Piece of Rope. There's a school of thought among the men whose job it is to fight organized crime that the old method of searching for clues and obtaining convictions on such evidence is not nearly as effective as attacking from within the organization itself by the use of informers. A typical case is that which involved Dookie DeFore and the gang which made its headquarters in a certain city at the corner of Warrenburg and Paoli Avenues. This organization serviced other groups. They accepted commissions to do certain jobs, as they did on the day Jack Paris told them...
Like I said, this Puggy Jackson is getting too smart for his own good.
Like, for instance, what?
You ask too many questions sometimes, Pittsburgh. Why don't you behave nice and quiet, like Dookie here?
Oh, Dookie, the kid's got a lot to learn yet.
He'll learn working with you. Only don't teach him to ask too many questions.
Sorry, Jack, I was only asking on account of if we know what he's pulling, we can find him easier.
You'll find him. That's what I'm paying you for.
Sure, we'll get him okay.
They call him Puggy on account of his nose. Some two-bit punk flattened it for him. Now I want him flattened. Complete.
Yeah, we'll take care of him.
Sure, we'll take care of him. And nobody, see? The bulls know he's been trying to cut me out. I don't want nothing to point to me.
When we get through, there won't even be a grease spot.
And it's a deal?
Yeah, sure is.
Sure is, Mr. Paris. Sure is.
Okay, you got the contract. Just be sure you carry it out. Understand?
Hey, Phil. Phil.
Yeah, Dookie.
Telephone, back of the store.
Okay, I'm coming.
Who is it?
Wouldn't say. You just asked for Pittsburgh Phil.
Know the voice?
Sounds a little like Mr. Paris.
He got ants in his pants again.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, if we can't find the jerk, we can't take care of him.
You know Paris. He thinks he's a big executive.
Yeah, I know.
Pittsburgh Phil here.
What's wrong with you guys? Do I have to take my business someplace else?
Well, take it easy. We'll get him.
I've been waiting 3 weeks. He hijacked me again last night.
We can't do nothing until we find him.
Not find him. I'll give you 3 days.
What's he want? Blood out of a stone.
Yeah, I thought he was sore. That don't get him nothing. He give us 3 days.
We gotta find that Puggy.
We'll find him. Tiny's making a contact today.
Tiny, that fat overstuffed...
When you get as smart as Tiny or as strong, you can talk.
Okay, Phil. I didn't mean nothing.
Don't bother me now. Okay. I gotta think. Go snatch a car or something. We'll need one for this job anyhow.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, sure. So when?
I wonder if you could give me some information.
You hear that, Dookie? He comes to the corner of Warrenburg and Paoli for information.
Yeah. That is, I was told I could find Tiny Schultz around here.
Where do you want Tiny?
I owe him some money.
So Tiny's still Shylock, and what do you know? Well, I'm sure I don't know where Tiny is, but if you let me have what you owe him, I'll see that he gets it.
No, I'm very sorry. I got to see him personal.
And who shall I say came calling?
Tell him Puggy Jackson.
Puggy Jackson. Now that I come to think of it, I think I know where he might be.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Tell you what, Dookie.
Yeah, right here.
Take this gentleman around to Tiny's usual resorts, and if you don't find him, bring the gentleman to my place in 3/4 hour. I'm expecting Tiny there then.
Gotcha.
I don't like to put you to so much trouble.
Any pal of Tiny's is a pal of mine. It's no trouble at all. In fact, pal, it'll be a pleasure to know you better.
You know, Josie, the rest of us girls... Well, I think you ought to know how lucky we think you are.
Lucky? Me?
Uh-huh, your own house, a fur coat, and Phil's about the sharpest husband we ever saw.
Oh, I don't know, Ellen. He's like most husbands, I guess. Always dropping things that you got to pick up after him. But I will admit, Phil's anything but stingy.
What business is Phil in, darling?
Contracting, dear.
You mean like road building?
Oh, goodness, no. Now, I'm sure that's one business Phil never wants to get mixed up with.
Well, what then, darling? To be perfectly frank, Josie, the girls were wondering, and I said I'd ask you. Seeing as how I know you best, that is.
Well, I don't know if I can describe it exactly, but... He takes orders and does things for people, kind of a service company.
But what kind of a company?
Look, why don't you ask him yourself, honey? That's his key in the door.
Oh, Hiya, girls.
Hiya, darling.
You know, Tiny, Josie, Ellen, this is Tiny. Tiny Schultz.
Hiya, Josie. Hello, Ellen.
Of all people to call Tiny, for goodness sake.
Sure. Anybody over 250, they call Tiny. The skinny guys, they call Fatso.
Yeah, you really over 250, Tiny.
300 if it's a pop.
Nothing small about this character. Look, Josie, some of the boys are coming over in a few minutes.
Okay, Mr. Mann. What is it tonight? Poker or talk?
Talk, mostly.
Well, don't make a mess.
How can talk make a mess?
Oh, you don't know Phil's gang in their gab fest. Get your hat, dear.
I didn't wear any.
We'll go to a movie, Phil.
Yes, good idea. Here's a fin. Treat the girlfriend.
Oh, thanks, dear. Come on, Ellen.
Well, I... Goodbye, all.
Goodbye.
So long.
Hey, remember what I said, dear. No mess now.
What a dame. Dang. Well, let's get going, Tiny. Duke, you'll be here with the jerk in 10 minutes.
The usual?
Yeah, straight chair next to the door, big chair facing it.
Yeah.
That way, when the door opens, he'll see only you and I can get him from behind.
Yeah. How's this?
Okay, sit down and read that newspaper.
How am I doing?
Swell.
What are you using?
Here it is, Tiny, the usual... 4 feet of brand new wash line. Now all we gotta do is wait.
This the place?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is it, Mr. Jackson.
Not bad. Very nice, in fact. It's kind of quiet.
Oh, they'll be there. Phil said so.
You sort of like this fella, don't you?
He's the best. The best. Let me ring the bell for you.
Come on in. Door's open.
We're coming. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson. After you.
Oh, thanks, kid. Tiny.
Come in, Puggy. Been waiting for you.
Hey, guy. All right. Give me a hand. Get on him, Tiny.
I'm trying. Stronger than I thought, this chicken.
Dookie, lend a hand. Don't make me scared. No. Couch. Get him on the couch.
Yeah. All right. Twist it. Twist the rope.
I'm trying. Stuff his mouth. Stuff it. He's making too much noise.
Yeah. He's Got a mouthful of fist. Twist it, Phil.
Sit on him. Hold him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does it. Brother, this character was strong. Hey, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Look what the dog did to my hand. That fella could get lunch off my bite like that. You got any more curachrome, Phil?
Iodine's better.
No, it stinks too much.
Well, go look in the medicine chest. Josie's got all kinds of junk in there.
I hate iodine. Hope she's got my curachrome.
Ain't got my wind back yet. Maybe I'm slipping.
Nah, you ain't slipping, Phil. You done fine.
Dookie, get some of that newspaper, quick.
You gonna read the paper?
Give me it, will you?
Hey, Chad McGurricrow. What are you doing, laying them out in state?
You heard Josie when she left. No mess on the rug, she said. It's all I need now. Trouble with my wife.
You ain't gonna leave him here like this, are you, Phil?
You got the car? No, I didn't have no time. I was taking him around the back.
We can use mine. Mine for the night, anyway.
Okay, roll him up. The rest of the rope is under the couch.
Yeah. Here's the keys, Duke. Go out and start the engine.
Thanks.
I'll have the car ready by the time you come out.
Okay, usual way, Tiny. Knees up, head down. Put him in a ball. He'll burn better that way.
Good. How's that, Phil?
Good. Stay at the wheel. Come on, Tiny.
Got the gasoline?
Yeah, right here.
Boy, it's quiet out here.
And Dookie and me, we was riding around. We spotted these empty lots. Got them?
By the rope, like a satchel. Funny how a guy who weighs so little could be so strong.
Yeah, this good enough. Now the gas.
That ought to be enough.
Okay, got a match?
Yeah. Here it goes.
Come on, let's get out of here.
All set, Phil?
Yeah, get going.
Hey,
don't he make a pretty bonfire?
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with A Piece of Rope. Now, we continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Cameron Mitchell as Jukie DeFore in A Piece of Rope. The vacant lot where Pittsburgh Phil and Tiny left the flaming body of Puggy Jackson was covered with weeds and sumac and littered with tin cans. Half a block away was a row of small houses. From one of those houses came a boy of 16 or so to watch the crackling bonfire. From the back door of another house came Emma Adams, in her hand a pan of water for her dog. Emma saw the flames and the boy standing there. Angrily, pan of water and all, she descended on the boy.
How dare you start a bonfire here? I ought to call the police.
Honest, Miss Adams, I didn't start it, honest.
Just like old boys your age, do things before you think. When those weeds catch, they'll set fire to the sumac bushes. Everything's dry as a bone. The whole neighborhood could burn down for all you care.
But I didn't do it. I was just watching.
Oh, that's what you all say. I'm going to put it out.
Okay, put it out. See if I care.
All right. There.
Hey, there's something in that fire. It ain't wood. Miss Adams, stop it. Hey, cut it out, Miss Adams. Somebody will think I hit you. Hey, stop.
What's going on here? What are you up to, young fella?
It's not me. There in the fire.
Officer, a dead man in the fire. In the fire.
Oh, stop that yelling now, lady. You're safe, I tell you. Young fella, get to a phone quick now. Call the precinct. Tell him Officer Martin told you. Give him the address. Run now, run. There ought to be a radio car close by.
¶¶
Weiner, stick with the medical examiner. Let me know when he's through.
Check, Lieutenant.
Now then, Martin.
Like I said, Lieutenant, I heard the lady screaming just as I finished talking to the desk sergeant from the car box up the block, so I beat it over here, and you know the rest, sir.
I wish I did. This the lady, Martin?
Yes, sir. Mrs. Adams, this is Lieutenant McKenzie, 51st Precinct.
Oh, yes, sir.
You live around here, Mrs. Adams?
Yes, sir. That house, just the edge of the lot.
And as I understand it, you saw the flames and came over here.
Yes. I was so angry. I saw that boy standing here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he started it, and it's so dangerous in dry weather. I had some water for Skippy. That's my dog. I threw it on the fire. Oh.
And that's all you know?
Yes, sir.
You here see any automobiles just before you saw the fire?
No, sir. I couldn't have. I was in the kitchen with the water running and all.
You, son, you see a car of any kind?
I think I heard a car. I'd see it. Do you know who he is?
No, not yet, son, but we will. Yes, Weiner.
The M.E. says he was killed and brought here. Strangled. Rope was deep in his neck. Fire didn't reach it.
Yes,
Miss Adams, you can go. We'll call you if we need you.
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant. Thank you.
Any chance to identify Weiner?
Plenty. His face is okay, and they had his hands inside his legs, so we ought to get fingerprints.
Well, what do you know? A break. All right, tell the boys in the meat wagon they can have him, and we'll see him at the morgue in half an hour.
Got the girl outside, Lieutenant. I showed her the ring we got from him, and she came quick enough.
What's her name?
Jean Jackson. Her brother is Puggy.
It's Puggy. Fingerprints checked downtown. We better have complete identification anyhow. The DA likes it that way. Bring her in.
Check, Lieutenant. All right, Miss Jackson, this way.
Yes,
Mr. Lee. This is Lieutenant McKenzie.
Sorry to bring you down here this late at night, Miss Jackson, but if this is your brother...
It's his ring. Father gave it to him, had it made. I begged him, but he wouldn't listen.
They never do until it's too late. This way, please.
Do I have to see him?
Someone from the family must make an identification if you'd prefer your father.
My father's dead. Mother just couldn't. I hope she never needs to know.
If you'll do what's necessary, I think that'll be enough.
What's necessary?
Identify, then swear to it on the witness stand when we get the gang that did it. Fourth and the left, Weiner.
Check.
But if I go on the stand, the newspapers...
Maybe you won't have to do it. If you do, maybe we can get the papers to forget your share. This is it, Miss Jackson.
I can't. I can't.
Lift the sheet, Weiner.
Check.
You'll have to look, Miss Jackson. You'll have to.
Yes. It's Puggy.
All right, Weiner, close it up. Then give me a hand with the girl. Why do they always faint? Does it do any good? So what have we got, Weiner? What have we got?
We got a body, period.
We haven't got that anymore, literally speaking. It was released for burial yesterday.
Then we got a funeral to go to. Watch.
What for? I know who'll be there.
And you know more than I do.
The mother, the sister, a few relations, Pittsburgh Phil Stone, Tiny Schultz, Dookie DeFore.
How do you figure that?
Her handwriting's all over the job. The method, the attempt to dispose of the body, the rope especially. Those boys know you can't prove a rope is in violation of the concealed weapons law. They never carry guns.
Smart.
Very. But... if we start the idea that they did it...
But why? Puggy never worked in that district.
They were hired, as usual.
Go on.
They have a weak sister in their outfit.
Huh. Weak or not, I'd hate to turn my back on any one of them in an alley.
Except Dookie.
The kid?
Right. I've got an idea, Weiner. Dookie doesn't know us. He's never seen either of us. Come along, Weiner. We're going for a little ride. Out to the corner of Warrenburg and Paoli Streets. Okay, Weiner, pull over and park.
Leave the engine running.
Check, Lieutenant. Watch yourself, Lieutenant.
Don't worry, I'm a big boy now. Don't move, Dookie. We're letting you back, Dookie. You're through, kid. You're through.
Oh, I didn't do nothing. Honest, I didn't.
Don't look behind you. You do, and you'll never see anything again.
Oh, now, please, shut honest. Up.
Do like I tell you. See that black car across the street?
Yeah.
Okay, start walking nice and easy, just as if you were going for a ride.
How are we doing?
On schedule, sir.
Don't rush. We don't want no trouble with cops.
What? No trouble?
You heard me, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Look.
What?
Why don't you say something? I never seen you before.
Puggy Jackson never saw you either.
Who's Puggy Jackson? Look, where are we going? Where are you guys taking me?
What do you care? You're not coming back.
Look, I didn't do nothing. All I did was take orders. You can't blame me if something went wrong.
We got a job to do, that's all. You understand that, Dookie.
Yeah, sure. Look, I got some dough. I got it stashed. You can have it if you let me go. All of it. Nobody will ever know. I'll disappear. Change my name. You can tell your boss you took care of me. I never did nothing, I tell you. Nothing. Just, I was the driver, is all. But I never touched anybody. Not even Puggy.
You hear that, Joe? He says he never touched Puggy.
He says.
But I didn't. So you are some of Puggy's boys. But I never touched him. I just drive the car after. Just after I drove the car. Look, I'll give you the dough, like I said. If you let me live, see? I want to live, you see? And I'll do more. I'll finger the others for you. I'll show you. Pittsburgh Phil and Tiny Joe.
They did it. I watched them. They did it. They did it, I tell you. I never laid a hand on them.
Honest. You got to believe me. You say something, will you? Don't just sit there like a statue or something with a gun in your pocket. Say something. I'll play ball.
Yeah.
I'll finger them for you. I know lots. More than anybody thinks. Please, you gotta let me go. You gotta.
Should I tell him, Joe?
Yeah, tell him. Put him out of his misery.
Okay, might as well.
No, don't shoot. Let that gun alone. Don't take it out, please.
No gun, Dookie. Just my hand in my pocket. Cops never carry guns in their pockets. They might catch it in the lining.
You, cops?
Yes. Want to see our badges, Dookie?
Cops. I spilled my guts to cops.
You want to live, don't you, Dookie?
What do you mean?
You want to fry, Dookie?
Fry? No, I'll talk. Oh, I'll talk plenty. I want to live. Tell me I can live if I sing. Please tell me.
On the radio, Wiener. Tell him to pick up Pittsburgh Phil and Tiny Schultz and turn back. We'll take this punk in with us.
Check, Lieutenant.
Here we go, Dookie. After you sing, home to Mama.
No, you can't do that. I'll talk. Oh, I'll talk, but you gotta give me protection. I can't go home. I wouldn't live a day, not if I talk. One way or the other, I'm done. You gotta protect me. I'll tell. Everything I know, I'll tell you. But you gotta help me. You gotta give me protection. I wanna live. You gotta help me. If I help you, you gotta help me. You gotta.
Cameron Mitchell, who was starred as Dookie DeFore in A Piece of Rope, will be back with you in just a moment. Now, here in person is Cameron Mitchell.
Well, I think it's obvious to everyone that Dookie DeFore became a criminal not so much of his own free will as because of the conditions into which he was born and the friends he made who came into existence in the same poverty-stricken slum areas where Dookie himself first saw the light of day. It follows, then, at least to my way of thinking, that a certain responsibility rests upon all of us more fortunate citizens. Our own complacence, even the shameful little thrills we get when we read of murders and other sadistic crimes in our daily papers, tend to encourage, rather than uproot, the organized crime which has such a tight grip on so many phases of our national life. And in the last analysis, it falls on us, even more than on our police, to prove to one and all that crime does not pay.
Thank you, Cameron Mitchell. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Mark B. Loeb, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you've just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental.
Thank you so much for bringing us home.
Not at all, Lady Ford. Hope you enjoyed the party.
Oh, my wife and I did very much, yes. Good night.
Good night, Sir Clifford. Good night, Lady Ford.
Good night.
Most kind of you to give us a lift.
A pleasure.
That was a very nice party.
Yes. I didn't realize it was so late. It's 2 o'clock.
There's no light in Cynthia's room.
No, she'll have gone to bed hours ago.
Oh, I'm tired.
We're getting too old for these late nights. You go up to bed. I'll bring some hot milk.
Thank you, dear. A funny smell of gas.
Yes, it's gas, all right.
Someone must have left a gas tap on in the kitchen.
Go and see. Don't worry, dear. By Jove, there is a strong smell. Gosh, it's overpowering. Where's the switch? What the hell? Don't, Cynthia! Cynthia!
BBC presents A Case for Dr. Morell, another adventure by Ernest Dudley, with Cecil Parker as the famous Dr. Morell and Sheila Sim as his secretary, Miss Frail. The Blackmailer.
Sir Clifford Forbes, Inspector.
Oh, good morning, Sir Clifford. Thank you, Sergeant.
It's very good of you to see me, Inspector Hood.
Do you mind if I smoke my pipe?
Of course not.
Now, just begin wherever you like and see if we can help you.
Well, as you know, Inspector, my wife and I and our daughter live in Winchester. Our daughter, Cynthia, is barely 19. She's our only child. Well, last summer we took her to Spain. Cynthia met a Count Raymond Alvaro. They fell in love and became engaged to be married. He travels between Madrid and London frequently and has been to our home 2 or 3 times.
When do they propose to get married?
In the autumn.
I understand, sir.
About 2 weeks ago, Cynthia came to London to go to a rather special party with her fiancé. Since her return, she's been a completely different girl.
Different, Sir Clifford?
It was as if she was terrified of something. My wife and I got nowhere with her. And then a couple of nights ago, we'd been out to dinner. We came back and I found Cynthia with her head in the gas oven. I was just in time to save her. The next day, she tried to gas herself again. The doctor got her into a nursing home where she's under constant watch so that she can't do herself any harm. Of course, I realize, of course, that an attempt to commit suicide is an offense.
Oh, no need to worry about that, Sir Clifford. It wouldn't be our job in a case like this to aggravate the situation. We'd want to try and help.
Thank you.
If we can, and that's the problem. Your object in coming to Scotland Yard is to see if we can find out what's at the back of your daughter's attempts on her own life.
My wife and I and the doctor have talked it over, and it's quite obvious Cynthia will never tell us what's wrong.
It would appear from what you say that it's linked up with this visit to London.
She was perfectly all right when she went, but she was a different person when she came back.
Well, I'm afraid, Sir Clifford, I don't see what action we can take.
But there must be something responsible for our daughter's state of mind.
But it isn't a police matter. So far as we're concerned, she's receiving proper care and attention in the nursing home. The danger of her taking her life is diminished. And when she recovers, she'll leave the nursing home and that'll be that.
But can't you investigate what's behind it all?
How could we? To start with, we should have to question your daughter, which, if she let us do so, might only succeed in aggravating her condition without achieving any results.
I see.
Sir Clifford, if later you would discover something which you felt we could act on, please communicate with me again.
All right. I'm afraid I've just wasted your time.
No, please don't think that. I only wish there's something we could do.
It's dreadful to feel so helpless.
Yes, I really am very sorry. Just a minute, Sir Clifford.
What is it?
It's just occurred to me that I could put you under someone who might be able to help you.
Who, Inspector?
Well, he's a personal friend of mine, as a matter of fact. Perhaps you may have heard of him. His name is Dr. Morell.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Sir Clifford Forbes. I have an appointment with Dr. Morell.
Oh, yes, Sir Clifford. Inspector Hood rang up this morning about you, didn't he?
It's very good of Dr. Morell to see me at such short notice.
I know. If you'll come this way, please.
As Inspector Hood has pointed out to you, Sir Clifford, it would appear evident that your daughter's present condition is in some way connected with her visit to London.
Well, that seems to be the case, Dr. Morell.
Was she looking forward to the visit?
Very much. It was the first time she'd been on her own. In fact, my wife would have preferred to have gone with her.
Why didn't she?
Well, after all, Cynthia's no longer a child. Besides, she'd be in the company of Raymond, her fiancé.
Count Alvaro?
Yes.
She stayed at Christie's Hotel.
Yes, they know us. We always stay there whenever we come up to London.
Where is Count Alvaro now?
In Madrid. He's due to return to London any day.
Did he know of your daughter's illness?
No. They'd been writing to each other, and she received a letter the morning of her first attempt to gas herself.
Did you read that letter?
My wife did. She doesn't usually open her daughter's correspondence, of course. But in this case, we thought it might have something to do with what had happened.
But there was nothing?
No, it was the sort of letter one might expect. Very affectionate, a love letter. It's one of our worries. What is going to be Raymond's reaction to this dreadful business?
Doubtless that's worrying your daughter, too.
They're deeply in love with each other. He'll have to know, I suppose.
Well, if he's deeply in love with her, that shouldn't affect the situation.
I don't know. He's most sympathetic and understanding, but he comes from a very distinguished family. He may feel obliged to reconsider whether under these unhappy circumstances he should go through with the marriage.
Did your daughter discuss her visit on her return home?
Oh, hardly at all. That was what made us realize something was wrong.
How long did she stay in London?
She went away on the Friday and returned late Monday evening.
The object of the visit was to attend this big party with Count Alvaro?
That was to be on the Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
She was going to a theater with him as well and visiting some of his friends. He had to return to Spain on Monday morning early. That was why Cynthia came back by herself.
So far as you know, she was in his company most of the time when, of course, he'd have looked after her.
We're pretty sure of that. He's most kind and thoughtful. He's about 10 years older than Cynthia, and I think that was why she fell in love with him, because he's so reliable.
It would appear that whatever it was upset your daughter and set in train these unhappy events transpired when she was alone.
I suppose so. Mm-hmm. We can't very well get in touch with him without giving away what's happened.
Where does he live when he's in London?
He's got a flat in Cavendish Street.
You would describe him as a man of wealth?
Oh, yes. His family are very rich. He travels a lot.
My secretary, Miss Frail, had better come in and take notes of everything you can remember relating to your daughter's stay in London.
Very well.
Any detail that you can recall may have some significance. I'll get Miss Frail now.
Oh, 5 o'clock and still matters to be done. Well, I've got all the notes, Dr. Morell.
Thank you, Miss Frail.
Clifford Forbes talked at length, but the only useful information we seem to have is the hotel where his daughter stayed.
That may well prove a source of information.
I hope so.
I also have this snapshot of the young woman and her husband-to-be.
Oh. She's very pretty. Though a little insipid, don't you think? He's attractive in that dark Spanish way. Shouldn't have thought she'd have been his type at all.
Does it necessarily follow that a certain type of man must be attracted to a certain type of woman, or vice versa?
Oh, yes, Doctor. It's all a matter of chemicals. Oh, but then, surely you know that.
I've often wondered.
The chemicals that go to make up one individual's character and personality can have tremendous effect upon someone else's chemicals. Sometimes they act like a magnet, drawing each to each. Sometimes the reverse. They repel each other. At other times, the moment the opposite lot of chemicals meet and collide, there's a terrific explosion.
Which is precisely what will happen now, Miss Frail, unless you stop your interminable chatter.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Doctor. Was I going on? No, where were we? Are we going to see the daughter?
It may be necessary. First, however, Inquiries at the hotel where she stayed might yield some results. Some member of the staff might have noticed something amiss.
Christie's Hotel. I'll ring up for you to see the manager.
Do that, Miss Frey. Come in.
Yes, sir.
You come in, dear. This is Lily, Dr. Morell, who looks after the floor where Miss Forbes had her bedroom. This is Dr. Morell and Miss Frail.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, miss. Good afternoon, Lily.
I sent for you because Dr. Morell would like to ask you about the time when Miss Forbes was staying here.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Doctor, I remember it very well.
Miss Forbes had the same room she always had when she stayed here with Sir Clifford and Lady Forbes.
That's right, sir, she did.
We're an old established hotel, Dr. Morell, and some of our guests like to have the same accommodation they've had before.
This was the first time that Miss Forbes has stayed here alone?
Yes, Doctor. In fact, we had one or two little jokes about it while she was here. Well, that is...
What were you going to say, Liz?
It's this, miss. I was remembering that it was only the first 2 nights that she was in a joking mood. Friday night and the Saturday night. When I saw her before she went out to the party. I saw her again next evening, and something seemed to have upset her.
Did you obtain any idea what was wrong?
I asked her, but she said it was nothing. She looked as if she hadn't slept a wink all night, poor thing. And she'd been so happy and full of life when she arrived, I felt ever so sorry.
Come in.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Henry. This is Dr. Morell and Miss Prale.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon.
Henry was the floor waiter, Dr. Morell, who served Miss Forbes.
And you used to take breakfast to Miss Forbes in her room every morning?
That's right, sir.
Can you remember any incident about Miss Forbes which impressed you at the time?
Well, only that on Sunday morning she was in a very upset state, and she had no breakfast at all.
Miss Forbes had appeared perfectly normal the previous morning?
Oh, definitely. Well, like she always was when she stayed with Sir Clifford and Lady Forbes. It was the same thing the next morning, Monday, the day she went away. All she had was a cup of tea, right off her food she was.
She offered no explanation for her sudden lack of appetite?
No, sir. I did ask her if there was anything wrong with the food or anything, but she said it wasn't that.
And she wouldn't say what it really was?
No, miss.
No, thank you, Henry. And will you tell Parks to come up?
Yes, sir.
Parks, the hotel porter, he might prove more talkative.
Well, it isn't how talkative, what they say that matters.
Quite. No, Parks won't be long.
About 12 o'clock. I was outside the hotel and I saw Miss Forbes come out. I asked her if she wanted a taxi. She shook her head and hurried across the street. I saw her stop and talk to a man in a doorway. He looked as if he'd been waiting for her.
Did you get a clear impression of him?
Oh, I'd know him again, if that's what you mean. He wasn't wearing a hat and he'd got very fair hair. He was thick-set and middle-aged. I saw Miss Forbes give him something. Looked like a big envelope, and he gave her something in return. He walked away very quickly, though he had a bit of a limp. Miss Forbes hurried back across the street to the hotel. She was putting something in her handbag. It slipped to the pavement, and I saw it was a small envelope. I was going to pick it up for her, but she was too quick. She snatched it up and dashed past me. Later on, I got a taxi for her to take her to the station. She wasn't looking at all well, I thought, and... Well, she barely spoke to me.
You have been most helpful.
Now, thank you, Parks.
Oh, anything I can do to help, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, miss.
Good afternoon.
Well, that's about it, Dr. Morell.
We're very grateful to you.
I can't think of anyone else in the hotel who could give you any more information. I was hoping someone might have seen Miss Forbes when she came back from the party.
Well, it might have been useful, especially if she'd been accompanied by someone whose description we could have obtained.
Miss Forbes must have come in when the night porter happened to be absent.
But surely it would have been her boyfriend, Count whatever his name is, who brought her back.
It may not have been. Well, I fear I put you to a great deal of trouble.
Not a bit, Dr. Morell. I do hope that this sad business will soon be cleared up.
Hello, this is Dr. Morell's house. Oh, good evening, Sir Clifford. Well, the doctor's in the laboratory. Will you hold on, please? Dr. Morell?
Miss Frail, just turn off that thing, would you?
Yes. Doctor?
Take that test tube and put it on the rack.
But doctor...
Don't drop it.
No, doctor.
I fancy I'm arriving somewhere in determining the difference between blood groups in relation to the criminal tendencies of the person involved.
Yes, I'm sure you are.
My belief that any emotional upheaval must give rise to certain glandular reactions, which in their turn might have an effect upon the blood, undoubtedly has some basis.
Doctor, Sir Clifford Forbes on the telephone.
And if this effect remains apparent in the blood for a length of time afterwards, the conclusion to be drawn... Sir Clifford Forbes? Why didn't you tell me instead of standing there gossiping?
Yes, Dr. Morell.
I'll speak to him. Dr. Morell here, Sir Clifford. When did you discover this? Yes, yes, just as soon as I have any news. Goodbye.
Well, what is it, Dr. Morell? What's he found out?
On the morning before his daughter left to return home, she cashed a check at her London bank for £250.
£250? That's a lot of money.
Miss Forbes happened to be somewhat well off.
How lovely.
There appears to be no trace of the cash.
You mean it's all gone? What wrong?
Murder.
What?
Murder of the soul, Miss Frail. Blackmail.
That's Dr. Morell as sure as eggs.
It's what I suspected from the start.
You mean that was the blackmailer whom Miss Forbes met outside the hotel?
The hotel porter's description fits. The fair hair, the limp. That was all I needed. That'll be criminal records on the line, if you'll excuse me. Inspector Hood here. He's identified, has he? I was pretty sure. Send the dossier up.
Is it the man you think?
Yes, Miss Frail. Harry Fox. The last time I got him 4 years. He can't have been out more than 6 months.
Like most criminals, he continues to pursue the same nefarious trade, even though he knows that by so doing, he must inevitably encompass his own destruction.
Well, that's your theory, I know, Dr. Morell.
It is more than a theory, my dear Inspector. Here is demonstrable proof.
Oh, that poor girl. But how could she have got caught up with someone so horrible?
What is this man's mode of operation?
Oh, the old stuff. Works with an accomplice. Put some story over on his victim. I know Harry Fox, and I can just see in my mind how he'd work it in this case. It would be at the party this girl was at. He'd be a guest there. Oh, he'd wriggle his way in, trust him. He'd size up the situation, pick the right moment...
Miss Forbes?
Yes?
Sorry to barge in like this, but Count Alvaro...
What is it? Has anything...
It's all right, Miss Forbes.
Something's happened.
He's been taken ill. It's nothing.
Raymond, where is he?
Really, it's nothing serious, but he's gone back to his flat.
He's not hurt?
Just a fainting attack, that's all. He sent me to ask if you could come along.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Has he got a doctor?
One's on the way. I'm a friend, by the way. I'm staying with Raymond.
Let's hurry.
Yes, yes. I've got a taxi waiting. We are nearly there, Miss Forbes.
Poor Raymond. He seemed perfectly all right while we were dancing. Then he went to get a drink.
It was a sudden attack that hit him, but not to worry. I expect the doctor will be there now.
I do hope he's all right.
Here we are.
Thank you.
I'll just pay the driver. I've the key. Come on in, Miss Forbes. Come on in.
There you are, Dr. Morell. That's about how it would go. He gets her into the flat, dopes her drink or coffee, and when she wakes up, she finds she's been photographed, looking as if she's been on one of those wild parties. Or in Harry Fox's amorous embrace.
Quite a vivid imagination of yours, Inspector.
I tell you, I know how Fox works.
How absolutely sickening.
The victim's to buy back the photographs. Takes quite a time, because Mr. Fox naturally hangs on to the negatives.
Why was she such a fool as to pay up? That's what I can't understand. Well, I mean, if I was ever caught like that... Well, not that I ever should be, of course.
Of course not.
I'm sure you would.
But if I ever was, I know what I'd do.
What?
This might be quite interesting, Miss Vale.
I'd beat the brute over the head with my umbrella or whatever I could lay my hands on.
I believe you would.
Then I'd send for the police. Or for you, Dr. Morell.
You flatter me. You may rest assured that a blackmailer would never single you out for his attention.
Just let him try.
The point is, you see, he invariably picks his victim very carefully. Someone he knows will react to the situation the way he wants. Who'll think of the scandal, the shame, exposure, and who panics. He's a real psychologist. Aye, Dr. Morell?
To a certain extent, he can weigh up the character of the person he proposes to enmesh in his toils. As in the case of this girl, he played upon her youthful inexperience, and in particular, upon the fact that she was engaged to be married. Her prospective husband would be horrified by what had befallen her.
Poor thing. What are we going to do, Dr. Morell?
Meet Mr. Fox.
Oh, I think that might be arranged. Come in.
The Harry Fox dossier, Inspector.
Oh, thanks. There you are, Dr. Morell. Have a glance at it.
There's also some stuff on a character he's worked with in the past, with the photos.
Right. Oh, by the way, Sergeant, I'd like to have a chat with dear Harry. Where's he hang out of an evening?
Harry Fox, Inspector. Oh, I think I know where you can pick him up. He's at the Grey Parrot Club every evening.
Do you think he'll be long, Inspector Hood?
Why, don't you like this joint?
It gives me the creeps.
Not to worry. Dr. Morell will join us any minute. You'll feel safe enough then.
Oh, I feel safe enough with you. Wonder why he left us on the way here from Scotland Yard.
To make a phone call, he said.
Well, he could have done that from your office.
Perhaps it's someone he doesn't want us to know about. A secret girlfriend, Miss Frail?
Inspector Hood, as if he'd... Oh, you were fooling, weren't you?
He's got some card up his sleeve, I shouldn't wonder.
Well, what happens when this fox creature does turn up?
Rather depends on what ideas Dr. Morell's got.
Hello, Grey Parrot Club. Farm here. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'll tell him as soon as he comes in. Hello. Well, I wonder who that phone call was
for. This is the sort of place where customers leave or collect messages.
Looked a bit sinister to me. Fox will never recognize you in this murky lighting.
Well, that barman was on to me the moment I came in. They can smell a flatty a mile off.
Oh, here's Dr. Morell.
Oh, Miss Frail's been quite worried about you, Doctor.
Did you make your phone call all right?
You should know, Miss Frail.
What do you mean? As if I could read your mind. Ah, that tune. I do know who you phoned. But...
You are improving, Miss Frail.
But I don't...
What is this going on? A mental telepathy act?
Miss Frail will now expound.
Don't you remember, Inspector? The phone call the barman took. That radio was playing Beautiful Dreamer. La, 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 la,
la. I've got it. You were humming that, Dr. Morell, so you must have heard it when you phoned the barman.
How clever of you.
Oh, we plodding flatties get by now and again. But why did you phone, Dr. Morell? Did you...
What is it?
Fox, he's come in.
The fair hair and the limp. Yes, but he doesn't look at all horrible.
Well, if he did, he'd hardly get very far in his chosen trade.
No, I suppose not. But what do we do now?
Dr. Morell, it's for you to say.
He's the barman speaking to him.
I think we might be getting along, Inspector.
Hey, but what about him?
I merely wanted to be sure he received the message. We can be waiting for him. Come along, Miss Frey.
I don't follow it at all.
Then just follow me.
No, I think we'd better, Inspector. Dr. Morell always knows where he goes.
Here we are, Dr. Morell.
Is this the address?
My message to Fox will bring him back here.
What now?
If your driver will proceed a little further along, we can await Fox's arrival.
All right, Sergeant. Stop here. Turn round on the other side of the road, between the street lamps.
Yes, Inspector.
We shouldn't have to wait long.
There's a taxi coming along now.
Maybe him.
It's slowing up outside the house.
It's him, all right.
He's getting out of the taxi.
Let him go in.
What's on the clock, driver?
3 bob, sir.
All right.
Ah, thank you, sir.
Funny about that phone message. Wonder what's in the wind.
What do you want?
What do you mean? You phoned a message to me at the club.
Come in.
He's gone in, Doctor.
I think this is the moment for us to make a move.
Come on, Sergeant.
Here's Dr. Morell, matron.
Oh, how do you do, Doctor?
Good morning. This is Miss Frayle, my secretary.
Good morning, Matron. Miss Frayle.
The doctor has driven down from London for a few words with my daughter.
Yes, Doctor. Well, if you'll come this way. I'm afraid Miss Forbes hasn't had a very good night, but she's a bit more relaxed now.
Miss Frayle and I'll wait here.
Dr. Morell, Miss Forbes, he's come to see you.
So long as he doesn't ask me any questions. I can't tell him anything.
Well, I'll leave you, Doctor.
If you would. Miss Forbes?
Yes, Doctor?
I have something for you. I fancy it might interest you.
What is it?
You ought to show some curiosity towards it. It's cost you a considerable amount of money and might have cost you more.
What do you mean?
It's the negative of a photograph.
Oh. Oh, you know.
You've suffered an unhappy experience for which you have nothing to reproach yourself.
How did you discover it?
I had a conversation with the fair-haired individual who was responsible for trapping you into going to his accomplice's flat where you expected Count Alvaro was awaiting you.
Yes. Yes, that's how it's happened. Yes. He was called away suddenly during the party. Then this man arrived, and he said I was to go with him to the flat where Raymond had been taken ill. He said he was a friend of his. I believed him, and then there was the coffee he gave me, and I don't remember anything until I woke up and found myself there. It was horrible. Horrible. And then the photograph...
You may dismiss it all. It's finished. Just relax. Relax.
It's been like some dreadful nightmare.
Try to think of it in a way. A nightmare. And now you're awake and it's done with. Now you can sleep again, feeling secure and safe.
I can't believe it's over.
Relax and sleep once more. No one can harm you. No one. Relax. Relax.
How is she, Dr. Morell?
How did she take it?
I left her sleeping.
How can we ever thank you? If it hadn't been for you, I don't know what we should have done.
You may rest assured that there is no cause for any further anxiety.
I told you, Dr. Morell, we'll put everything right.
There remains one minor matter to be attended to, which I didn't mention to her.
What's that?
Well, I thought it best to leave it to you to discuss with your daughter. It concerns Count Raymond Alvaro.
You mean he knows?
I fear so.
But why? Why did you have to tell him? How did you get in touch with him?
Don't you think your daughter would have wanted him to know anyway?
Well, she couldn't not tell him, surely.
No. Only I must confess I was hoping he'd never have to know.
Why should it matter if he really loved her?
Yes. Yes, but you see you've spoken to him, Dr. Morell.
I have.
But where is he? Is he back in London?
He's in London, and he knows everything.
What did he say? How did he react?
That's what you will have to explain to your daughter.
You mean
he was never in love with her. It was her money which attracted him.
How dare you say that?
Well, because it happens to be true. You see, he makes a practice of attaching himself to impressionable young women of means and with access to wealth. Count Raymond Alvaro, or whatever he calls himself, found such a victim in your daughter.
But it can't be true. How do you know this?
I had the dubious pleasure of seeing his picture in a dossier at Scotland Yard. It was the same man in the snapshot you gave me with your daughter.
You never mentioned anything about that to me.
Didn't I, Miss Frayle?
The man with her in the snapshot. Yes, I remember now.
You observed he looked attractive in a dark Spanish way.
Hmm. And he hasn't been back to Spain at all?
A discreet inquiry I made at his flat in Cavendish Street revealed that he was, in fact, there.
But the letters he wrote?
They were easily arranged. Inspector Hood and I called at his flat last night.
I was there too, wasn't I, Dr. Morell?
Accompanied inevitably by Miss Frayle. We apprehended him and his accomplice, a man named Fox. The ensuing interview proved eminently satisfactory for us.
I just can't believe it.
I knew it. It must be an awful shock.
You mean he isn't Count Raymond Alvaro at all?
One of many aliases he uses. His real name doesn't matter. All that need concern you is that he is a professional... blackmailer.
That was another adventure in a BBC series featuring Ernest Dudley's famous character, Dr. Morell, and, of course, his secretary, Miss Frayle. The artists taking part were Dr. Morell, Cecil Parker, Miss Frayle, Sheila Sim, Inspector Hood, Philip Ray, Sir Clifford Forbes, Douglas Young, Lady Forbes, Madeline Christie, Cynthia Forbes, Ruth Trancer, Hotel Waiter, Hayden Jones, Hotel Manager, Humphrey Morton, Lily, the maid, Beryl Calder, matron, Molly Rankin, Harry Fox, and other parts, Ian Sadler. This recorded program was produced by Leslie Bridgemont.
That's Case Closed for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Crime Does Not Pay, Dr. Morell, past episodes of Case Closed, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Got a Shoutcast stream available there for you, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all of the Relic Radio shows. Give that button a click. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, so any amount is always appreciated. Thanks to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.